You'll find an authorized version of Holy Scripture before you in the pew. If you pick it out, turn with me, please, to the 16th chapter of the first book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, rather. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. We're reading from verse 47 down to the end of the chapter 15. 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As in the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as in the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. And God will seal his infallible word with his infallible seal to our hearts in Jesus' name. Lord, visit us tonight with thy holy power, and I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. As it has been announced, I want to speak tonight upon the greatest swallow of all time. Now, I'm not thinking of a large bird called a swallow, but I'm thinking of the word when it's used of your mouth. And I would refer you to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I would refer you to what is said in that chapter. Verse 54. Death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. The Bible is a book of amazing swallows. In fact, the downfall of all generations of mankind came because of the swallow that Eve made in the Garden of Eden. And she gave to her husband, and he too made a swallow. They took of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And if you look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, you'll find these words. And what an influence this act made on all mankind. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And that swallow brought them death, and brought death to all mankind in every future generation. That is the first swallow that we find in the Bible. What a swallow that was. And what an awful result to that swallow. The swallow of the forbidden fruit, which was the swallow of death to all mankind. When we turn to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, we find another swallow mentioned. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 12. You remember that Moses stood before Pharaoh and demanded Pharaoh to be obedient and let Israel leave the land and leave the slavery and go back to the land promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the wicked Pharaoh said no. And Aaron and Moses appeared before him. And when he challenged them, they threw down the rod of Moses, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh laughed, and he said, "We can do likewise." And so the wizards of Egypt cast down their rod, and they became a serpent. He called the wise men, chapter 7, and sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, and they did like manner with their enchantment. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And so we have a type of sin very vividly illustrated in the first swallow of Eve and Adam. We have a type here of the devil, the serpent, and the swallow of that devil by the rod of God from the hand of Aaron. And then we come a bit farther and we discover that something happened at the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, we are told the earth swallowed them up. You turn over to Exodus at the chapter 15 and the verse 12. And you'll read there these words. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. That's what happened at the Red Sea crossing. The earth swallowed them. And we read about who was swallowed. 600 chosen chariots packed with soldiers were swallowed. And the great army of Egypt that followed them all were swallowed up in that day of judgment. So there was judgment which brought death by the swallow. There was judgment that brought the destruction of the serpent by the swallow. And there was this third swallow, all the power of Egypt, which is a type of the world, was swallowed up by the hand and action of God. And then when we turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, we read a very interesting story about three rebels, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they decided they would rebel against God. And they did. But Moses challenged the rebellion. And he said, these men are not going to die like anyone else. They're going to die in a different manner. And if you turn over to Numbers chapter 16, you'll find the story of what happened to them. In chapter 16 of Numbers, we read about them. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, and the son of Levi, rose up before Moses with 250 princes of the assembly, and there was a great rebellion. But Moses said to them, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own hand. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Verse 30 of chapter 16. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that pertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking, all of these words, that the ground cleave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. And they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were around about fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. What a swallow. The whole of these rebels swallowed up under the immediate action of God. Of course, if we go back into Genesis, we see a world that was swallowed up with the judgment of God in the days of Noah, and the waters swallowed up the whole earth and the whole world, but 8 persons were all lost in the judgment. What a swallow that was, the swallow of dire and terrible judgment. When I turn over to the New Testament, I discover that 7 times this word swallow occurs. I'm not going to give you the references, for if I did, you wouldn't go back to your Bible and study them out. But you'll find 7 references in the New Testament to the word swallow used in judgment, and what judgment there was. And at the end time, Satan is going to cast his blood upon this earth against the true church of Jesus Christ. But we read the earth is going to help the woman and swallow up the water of that flood so that the church can continue to remain on this earth testifying to the truth of the gospel. Coming through the Bible, you will find a panorama of these great swallows. And I trust you will study them all out. They all have a very special message. But it is interesting, is it not, that the swallow that brought death on all mankind, that a swallow is going to take place in which death itself will be swallowed up. And that's what we're talking about tonight in this great portion in 1 Corinthians. And what a portion it is. And here we are told by the blessed Holy Spirit of God, here we are told death will be swallowed up in victory. That death that swallowed the whole human race from Eve and Adam right on to the end of the age of the ages, that death will by the same method be swallowed up, and it will be swallowed up in victory. One day, death will come to an end. What a swallow that will be. Here, the greatest, the mightiest, the most glorious swallow of all times and generations or ages is going to take. If you look with me at that chapter 15, you will notice that the word victory occurs 3 times. It's a threefold victory. What does it say? It says death is swallowed up in victory in verse 54. And then it tells us, or asks us the question, O grave, where is thy victory? And then in verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You just think for a moment or two of all the tears that have been shed by mankind because of death. Think of the vast numbers of people, millions and trillions of them, who have gone to the cemetery, the graveyard, the place where the burial was to take place, and the sepulchre place. And all down through the ages, from Adam and Eve onward to the end of time, men will weep, and they will shudder, and they will cry, and they will be pained by death. But there's a day coming when victory is going to swallow up death. It'll be a day when there'll be no more processions to the sepulchre, no more processions to the graveyard, no more processions to the burying places. Death itself will be swallowed up in victory. It is interesting that the Holy Spirit used that word as he did use it in the Blessed Book of God. It occurs 3 times here, and it occurs once in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 20. But please note that these are quotations from the Old Testament. And over in the book of Isaiah, you will find that there is a quotation there, or a statement there, and that statement is a statement that is referred to by the apostle in the 25th chapter of Isaiah chapter 28 or 25 rather, and at the verses 7 and 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 7. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. That covering is death. That veil is death. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. And then we have something else. There is another quotation. And that is over in the book of the prophet Hosea at the chapter 13. And these are both linked in this passage in 1 Corinthians. What a book is this Bible, and what a truth it reveals to those that search it and loves what it says. And in the 13th chapter of Hosea, we read something more. We read this, I will ransom them, verse 14, from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Wonderful. That in the old prophets, they saw the vision of the swallow that was going to come. No words of mine could describe tonight the wonder of that great day. The whole redeemed host of the Lord. A multitude that cannot be numbered and never will be numbered. It's beyond the ken of man and the knowledge of man. And there's not a machine manufactured by man will ever find the number of the redeemed. It's a number that no man can ever number. What a day it will be when that great concourse of redeemed people, the children of God, the sons and daughters by the second birth of the kingdom of God, they shall all meet. And what shall they meet to do? To celebrate the greatest celebration that they could take part in. That death, the result of sin, is finished as far as they are concerned forevermore. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. No sin will stain that earth. No spade will ever dig a grave in that earth. That's the finality of Calvary, the fullness of what God's Son did at the cross. He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is to say the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We used to have a caretaker in this church. He was one of the worst drunkards on this road. I carried him one night, one Friday night, from the pub to the prayer meeting in the church, and I led him to the Lord, and he became a great Christian. But he never in all his life got over his fear of death. And if you had a cold, he would tell you, I know people died of a cold like that. And if you had a sore finger, I know people died with a sore finger like that. And he used to tell me, he says, you know, I'm going to die of cancer. I said, you'll not die of cancer. And he didn't. But he believed it. He was under the fear of death. God wants to deliver us from the fear of death. Because death is going to be destroyed forever. My, what a shout will go up from all that great, unnumberable host of redeemed in white robes. What a shout will go up that day. The very pillars of eternity will shake with the joy that death, cold, bitter death, is finished as far as we are concerned forevermore. But what about the angels? They saw what death did to their fellow angels, dragged a third of all the angels of God at the tail of the dragon out of heaven and down to hell. But those angels with the cherubim and seraphim, the archangels and all the angels of heaven, they will join that shout as well. Because there'll never be another rebellion of angels in the heaven against the throne of God. No sin shall work in them. Another Lucifer shall not arise to stain the heavens of heaven with the stain of sin. No wonder Christ could say, I stood by when God cast Satan out of heaven. But Satan will be cast out into the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone forever. And the angels of God, the great creatures of the majesty of heaven, the soldiers of the Lord God Jehovah, they shall join for the sons and daughters of the king to shout and sing. And what shall they shout? They shall shout that death is swallowed up in victory. Death is cruel. Death is bitter. Death is something that we must fight. It is an enemy, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But one day, it will be, it shall be, and it shall be eternally destroyed when death shall reign no more. Could I draw your attention finally upon the repetition of that word victory, or that word here concerning the glorious outcome of this? First of all, death is swallowed up in victory. And then, O grave, where is thy victory? And then, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have death demonstrated. It's swallowed up in victory. We have death here, and this death is linked with the grave, but the grave has lost it, and the victory becomes ours. 4 years the grave has ruled, but its rule is to be no more. For years and millenniums it has reigned, but it reigns no more. Where, O grave, O where is thy victory? It has left you, and we enjoy the victory we have in Christ. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Could I be practical tonight? Could I say to you, have you that victory in your heart, in your soul, and in your conscience, and in your mind? Do you know the peace that Jesus gives? Do you know the cleansing that his blood brings? Do you know the absolute happiness and rest from all the scourge of death? God wants to bring you to the place where you will be able to say, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. And then when you say that, what will happen? You'll be steadfast. You'll be unmovable. You will be always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Beloved brethren, you're loved of God. Show forth your praise to him. But if you haven't that peace, that joy, that grace, that pardon, that justification, you can have it tonight. It's an offer in the gospel. The Lord Jesus has destroyed death. The Lord Jesus has won the battle. The Lord Jesus is the one who liveth and was dead, and behold, he is alive forevermore, and he is the keys of hell and of death. Pray to him that he unlock the door of death and bring you forth, never to return. Whosoever, what a sweet word that is. You yourself are the only person that can put yourselves outside the gospel invitation. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is yours. Receive it tonight. It has to be taken the way Christ says you have to take it. And how do you take it? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's not a doubt about it. Oh, taste and see, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word tonight to our hearts. And we pray that souls who are still under the burden of guilt and care may come away from that burden and come to the place of pardon and peace and life everlasting. Hear this our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.